Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're going to talk about the grace of God this week. It is the heart and soul of the gospel message. Apart from grace, we're nothing.
Correct.
Just absolutely nothing. But as we've been in ministry for so long, Richard, we've come to realize that that word grace has been watered down. And when somebody hears it, they have a particular definition of it in their minds or an understanding. And it doesn't ever seem complete. It just doesn't go far enough. For most, grace is simply a covering for the past. It lets us off the hook, so to speak. But grace is so much more. It's so much bigger. I mean, Jesus Christ is the one full of grace and truth. So how big is grace? Well, it's as big as Jesus Christ. Well, who in the world is Jesus? Well, he is God in human flesh. Yes. It doesn't get any bigger than that. So grace is just this humongous word. And we really have to see the power of it. I love theologians as they get to the end of their lives. You know, most of the times they're asked, you know, what is the most extraordinary subject in the Word of God? What do you want to know more about? And almost every single one of them say, I want to know more about the grace of God. I just feel like I've scratched the surface. It is God reaching down to us in Christ Jesus. And for the next 2 days, we're going to look at 12 different things that grace does in our lives. Today, the first six, we're going to start in Ephesians 1, 7, and 8. So the grace of God redeems us and forgives us our sins. That's pretty good in and of itself right there. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So this grace of God, he's lavished on us so that we can have redemption and forgiveness. Pretty powerful right there.
Oh, it is.
But that's where most people just stop with the grace of God. It's grace that has forgiven our sins. But that's not where it stops. Grace saves us. One of the most famous passages in all the Word of God, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So grace is a gift. Grace is a gift that saves us. It's not something that we can work for, this salvation. It has to be given to us by God through grace. This grace makes us alive with Christ. This gets into the actual aspect of salvation that I think we overlook so often. The fact that God makes us alive together with Christ. For it is, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So what is grace? It is God's act in Jesus to make us alive together with him.
Yes.
It's pretty powerful, isn't it? The grace of God justifies us. And we know the famous verse, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But there's not a period at the end of that verse, is there? It goes on. And in verse 24, we really get the good news. And we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So God has declared us righteous. That's what it means to be justified. And then when we recognize all that grace does in our lives, the fact that it forgives, it redeems, it saves, it makes us alive, it justifies us, that grace starts to teach us something that we had never known before. And that's how to say no to sin. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. But it not only teaches us to say no, it teaches us how to say yes to the righteousness that we have in Christ and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the grace of God that has been made available to us in Christ Jesus, the grace that forgives, the grace that redeems, the grace that saves, the grace that justifies, the grace that makes us alive, the grace that teaches us to say no to sin and yes to godly, upright living. It's just an incredible reality, and all of it is a free gift of God to us in Christ Jesus. That's the good news. Well, let's talk more about the grace of God on today's broadcast. If you have a question or a situation that you would like to find out how the grace of God can address, we encourage you to call right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We also have a wonderful gift to anybody who contributes to Basic Gospel this month. It is a devotional, 12 Days of Simply Grace. This devotional is excerpted from my new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, which releases July 1st. But we want you to have this devotional guide, and it's available to anyone for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. Just go to basicgospel.net, click on the free or the offer at the bottom right hand corner of the homepage at basicgospel.net, and just follow all the instructions. We want to put this in your hands. It's a wonderful way to see what grace really does in our lives. It'll drive you into the Word of God. It has some stories, has some thought questions. Take advantage of this. 12 Days of Simply Grace, yours for a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that we can, you know, quickly go through six things, and we'll go through six things tomorrow. And any one of these things could consume the rest of your life.
No kidding.
Studying it and trying to understand it. But here's a question that we got from a listener online. And I think even though it's not about grace, the answer to the question is found in grace. Many early church fathers believed that a person could lose their salvation, Clement, Polycarp, Justin Martyr, etc. And they tend to quote 2 Peter 2:20-22 and Hebrews 10:26 to back this up. This is so, what hope does anyone have except to die a martyr's death for guaranteed salvation? Here's the telling point. Lord knows I fail every 5 minutes.
Well, it's interesting. I fail every 5 minutes. I think our lives really make the case for grace, don't they?
Oh, yes.
We do fail. We do miss the mark. We do, you know, maybe we've cleaned ourselves up on the outside and we look pretty good as far as the world is concerned, but we know what goes on the inside. And we wonder, how in the world can we be saved? How can we make it if it's up to us in any way, shape, or form? And the reality is we couldn't. There's no way to bootstrap ourselves up into the kingdom of God. That has to be something that God does for us through his grace and mercy. Apart from grace, we're just doomed. We're hopeless. There is no answer. So we need grace. But this grace that has been given to us in Christ, it's not a partial grace. It's not a temporary grace. It's a permanent grace. As the writer of Hebrews says, when Christ saves us, he saves us completely. So there's no turning back. And the reason it is a complete salvation is because it is a really fundamental change in us. We were dead in transgressions and sins. That's what we were. And so our need was for life. Well, there's no way that a dead person can bring life to himself. That we just don't have that power. We just don't have that capability. So God, who is rich in mercy, God who loves us, made us alive together with Christ, those of us who were dead in trespasses and sins. And as we read, this is the grace of God that saves us. We have been saved by grace. So grace makes us alive, and that is a permanent transaction. Once we are alive, we will never die again. Mm-hmm. Yes, these bodies are going to die, but not our spirits. And one day we're going to get new bodies that match these new spirits yes. that we have, and we will be fully alive in body, soul, and spirit at that point. We're fully alive now, but we just get the first parts of it, and that's yes. and that's the spiritual part. And the reason we'll never die is because God, Jesus Christ took away the cause of death. That's why he shed his blood, to take away our sins once and for all. So that cause of death has been eliminated. Mm-hmm. Now we can live forever in the very presence of God. So there's no way that we can lose our salvation. I know some of these early church fathers taught that we could lose our salvation. There are hundreds and hundreds of people that teach you can lose your salvation today. I don't think they have fully grasped the bigness of the grace of God. Grace is bigger than all of our sins. I mean, just look at this. When Jesus died on a cross, he took my sins away from me, placed my sins upon himself, and he took the punishment. Well, just think about it. He took your sins too. So, and then Greg is sitting on the other side of the glass. Jesus took his sins off of Greg and placed those sins upon himself. And just multiply that by 7 billion. I mean, that's how many people live on the planet today.
Yeah.
Jesus took all of those sins and took them upon himself. And then think about all the people who lived from the very beginning of time all the way up to the present. Jesus took those sins and placed them upon himself as well. That's how big grace is. And if, you know, the world continues for another 4 or 6 or 10,000 years, there's going to be billions and billions and billions yes. of more people. Well, Jesus saw all of all those of sins, and he took those sins. That's just how big grace is. And so we think, here's my salvation, which is incredible, that what if I sin and can lose it? Well, what are we saying about the grace of God?
If sort of flawed.
If my one sin could change the nature of God's grace, could change the effects of God's grace, then it's not very effective. Mm-hmm. But it can't. It's bigger than any one sin, and it's bigger than all sin together. That's how big the grace of God is, and it's that grace that saves you, and that's why you can never lose your salvation. And when we grab hold of that, boy, the Christian life really changes. I mean, one of our big questions, Richard, as you well know, always relates to assurance of salvation.
Yes.
How can we know for sure that we're saved? The grace of God guarantees it. If you want to know for sure that you're saved, just start exploring the depths of God's grace. Mm-hmm. You will come away overwhelmed and thankful and on solid footing that you have been saved and that you have been saved forever. It's good news.
Sure is.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. If you have a question or something that you would like to ask on today's broadcast, now's the time to call. Go ahead and light up those phones right now, 844-322-2742. We're going to go to England, Richard, and talk with our good friend, Saab. Hi, Saab.
Hi, Bob and Richard.
Hello.
And David. Hi. my question today is about in the Old Testament. I know God is love. I know his nature and character. But how we interpret, there are some people are dead and some people destroyed, and then sound like God, people asking me, how come God killed people and destroyed people? So how do we interpret that?
Well, God is sovereign, and I think his sovereignty is a part of the answer to that particular question. He also had a plan for the salvation of the world. That plan was carried out in Jesus. And when you read through the Old Testament, you see that plan slowly but surely unfolding. It starts in Genesis. Through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. That was God's promise to Abraham. We even see that pre-Abraham when the curse. So we see this unfolding story of Jesus. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we see the fulfillment of that story, that all that God had promised was coming true in Christ. Well, we also see in the Old Testament, we see these spiritual forces of darkness trying to gather strength and momentum to stop God's plan. And there were people groups that were involved in that plan. All these people that, you know, set themselves up as enemies of God, who put their fist up in the air and said, God, we will have none of you, not now, not ever, not in any way, shape, or form. We are going to do our thing, our way, how we want to do it. You're not going to stop us. And as a matter of fact, we're going to do everything in our power to stop you. We are going to knock you off your throne, and we are going to take control. That was the very nature of those people. They were caught up in this spiritual forces of darkness trying to destroy the very plan of God that was going to bless the entire world. And so in that, there was destruction. Why? To protect the bloodline of Jesus, so that you, Saab, could be saved today, so that I could be saved, so that Richard could be saved, so that anyone who would call upon the name of Jesus could be saved. That's why God did what he did.
Yeah, there's a prophecy that God gave to Abraham during one of the times when he was setting the Abrahamic covenant. This is particular in Genesis 15. This is the big one, when God had Abraham split the carcasses of the animals in two, and instead of both of them walking back and forth between the pieces of these animals, God put Abraham to sleep and made the covenant with himself instead of just with Abraham. And part of this is that the Lord said to him, starting in verse 13, Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here. And here's the key line. For the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. So God, in essence, sent Israel to Egypt so they wouldn't be tainted by the Amorites, while God continued to work with the Amorites in some way that we don't know. But the sin of the Amorites had not yet reached its full measure, and by the time Israel came back, the Amorites and many other people groups in Canaan had completely rejected God. So what did it look like for them to have rejected God? Well, one of their primary practices was infant sacrifice. You know, they'd take the babies of their people and offer them to their gods in hopes of having a better crop yield or better weather or a happier family or whatever. I mean, it was just a completely bankrupt, bloodthirsty, not a bit of savable stuff left in those people groups. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, God didn't know what to do with all of them. He's a sovereign God. He'd been working with them for all those years. And when those people groups were destroyed, you know, because of God's love and justice, that anybody who was truly not part of that overwhelming evil, God dealt with them lovingly and justly. And that's where we have to leave it. But he knew this was coming. He told Abraham it was coming. And sure enough, it came to pass.
Yeah. One last passage, Psalm 145, verse 17. This is something that we need to hold as a foundational truth. The Lord is righteous in all his ways.
Yes.
We look at some of those stories, and we just can't attach righteousness to it. But the truth is, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. That's the God that we have come to know personally in Jesus.
Yes.
So
which passage is it?
Psalm 145, verse 17.
Oh, thank you.
You were welcome, Psalm. Hey, thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Yeah, quick one, Bob. The Revelation 22:12 is saying about, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. So this looks like, you know, it's a reward to each person, you know, according to their deed. So could you explain to me on that?
Well, again, we're not going to be saved based on what we have done. We're saved on what Christ has done. It is his work through death, his burial, and his resurrection that saves us. That's the gospel on which we take our stand. So he's talking about rewards, and Paul talks about that, and we are going to be judged on what we've done in Christ. And it's not really us doing it, it's Christ doing it through us. So our job is to simply trust him. And we can rest in that. We can rest on the fact that if I'm abiding in him, if I'm trusting in him, he's doing his work in and through me. So that's the good news. So tie that over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I think it'll become clear to you, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome, Saab. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We certainly are thankful for you, our listeners. We have been talking about the grace of God. We're going to talk about the grace of God most of this week. We have a wonderful resource that we would like to put into your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. But if you are looking to take a deeper dive into the grace of God and just find out exactly what grace does in your life, I encourage you to pick up a copy of this. It is 12 Days of Simply Grace. It comes from my new book that's coming out in July, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. But we all need grace in our lives, not just for portions of it, but we need grace for every aspect of our lives.
Nothing.
Yes. As a matter of fact, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we take our stand on the grace of God. That's where we live right now. We're always in God's unmerited favor. That's a great place to be, and we need to know that that's where we are. Then everything will take shape from there. Everything will be transformed from that exalted position. We didn't earn it. God simply gave it to us as a free gift. That's what grace is all about. So order your copy of 12 Days of Simply Grace, a 12-day devotional guide that will help you take a deeper dive into the grace of God that is yours in Christ Jesus. To get your copy, just go to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and it's right on the home page. Just click the icon and follow the instructions, or you can call and talk with Billy, our operator here, 844-412-2742, 844-412-2742. We all need to know about the grace of God. As we talked about today, God's grace forgives us, God's grace redeems us, God's grace saves us, God's grace makes us alive together with Christ, God's grace justifies us, God's grace teaches us to say no to sin, God's grace teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives as we wait for the blessed appearing of Christ. We'll be back again tomorrow. See you then. We'll